Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. We want to recognize and celebrate that we're made stronger when we pull together. Your donations help CJSF continue fostering citizen journalism and self-expression on the airwaves, essential to democratic and representational media. Your support during Fund Drive helps CJSF to remain a voice that is diverse, independent, and yours. All funds raised go towards supporting the volunteer-driven broadcasting and media-related activities of the station. Learn more about this year's CJSF Fund Drive at cjsf.ca/donate. cjsf.ca/donate. And as always, thank you so much for your support.
With International Women's Day having taken place earlier this week on Wednesday, March the 8th, tonight's show will be focusing on women, music, the arts, and different activities that acknowledge and honor women and International Women's Day. International Women's Day is celebrated annually on March the 8th and brings attention to issues such as gender equality, reproductive rights, and violence and abuse against women. This day was spurred on by the universal female suffrage movement, which originated from labor movements in North America and Europe during the early 20th century. And the earliest version of Women's Day was organized by the Socialist Party of America in New York City and took place on February 28, 1909. It was also inspired by German delegates at the 1910 International Socialist Women's Conference, at which time it was suggested that this day be organized annually. It was after women gained suffrage in Soviet Russia in 1917 that the International Women's Day was made a national holiday on March the 8th. It was later, however, in 1977 that this day became a mainstream, not really a holiday, but a day of acknowledgement by the United Nations. 60 years later, International Women's Day became a mainstream date, in some places a holiday, following its adoption by the United Nations. And the year before it was adopted by the United Nations, Barbra Streisand and Kris Kristofferson starred in the film A Star is Born. It was an incredible movie. I was 14 years old and my mother took me to see it at the Stanley Theater in Vancouver, which was a beautiful, beautiful theater on Granville and 14th, I believe. I don't know if they still show films. They might show live performances. So to kick things off, I've got a song for you with Woman in the title. It's a song from that 1976 film, Woman in the Moon.
I was warned as a child of 13. Not to act too strong. Try to look like you belong, but don't push, girl. Save your time and trouble. Don't misbehave. I was raised in a know-you-don't world, overrun with rules. Memorize your lines and move as directed. That's an age-old story. Everybody. Worn out song. can never hold our woman. I said a woman in the
sure. Experimental shorts, classic and contemporary. The organization also has a film library, film archives, and an educational program department. Come and feel the essential cinema experience. The cinema is located at 1131 Howe Street near Davie. Visit their website at cinematech.ca for upcoming films and more information.
Radio Tale. Woodstock and musical history. In 1969, on a little farm in Bethel, White Lake, New York, musicians and artists gathered to make history. While the event was initially billed as an Aquarian explosion, 3 days of peace and music, it is an event that would become known as Woodstock. Listed by Rolling Stone as one of the 50 moments that changed the history of rock and roll, this weekend marks the festival's 49th anniversary. This weekend marks the 49th anniversary of this historical event. For musicians, artists, and rock and roll fans, this was the place to be. Unfortunately, not everyone could be there. It would be days later, or perhaps it was weeks, Canadian folk singer Joni Mitchell wrote the song Woodstock. It was a tune that would become as profound as the event itself. Although Joni Mitchell neither performed nor attended the festival, she captured the essence of the experience and penned the song. She did this from watching news reports and from what she had heard from then-boyfriend Graham Nash. Mitchell did not attend what would become a watershed festival, the festival of all festivals, because her manager thought it would be more advantageous for her to appear on the Dick Cavett Show. Having captured the essence of what Woodstock was and what it would come to mean to so many, the lyrics illustrate Mitchell's genius. For those of us who weren't at the legendary music festival, and those who were, Mitchell recreates what it was like to be at Woodstock and what it meant to so many. From a hotel room in New York City, the Canadian folk singer wrote Woodstock. In recent years, Mitchell has described the experience of Woodstock as a spark of beauty, where 500,000 kids saw that they were part of a greater organism. Although she wasn't there, Mitchell knew that she got it. She knew that she had captured the essence. In an interview years later, she would say that it was the deprivation of not being able to go that provided her with an intense angle on Woodstock. Similarly, when David Crosby of Crosby, Stills & Nash, a singer-songwriter who had performed at Woodstock, when he was interviewed for the documentary Joni Mitchell, Woman of Heart and Mind, Crosby said that Mitchell had indeed captured the feeling and importance of the Woodstock Festival better than anyone who had been there. The song lyrics relay a spiritual journey to Max Yazger's farm, the place of the festival, in which the songstress uses sacred imagery and compares the festival site with the Garden of Eden. In the song, Mitchell also references the power of numbers at the festival, as well as the Vietnam War and her generation's desire for peace. The song was performed a month later for the first time at the 1969 Big Sur Folk Festival. A year later would see this event archived into history in the Academy Award-winning 1970 documentary movie Woodstock and the accompanying soundtrack album. So here it is now, the infamous words of legendary folk singer Joni Mitchell, taking us back in time with Woodstock.
I can't. International Women's Day wouldn't be complete without mentioning Helen Reddy. Helen Reddy was an Australian singer-songwriter who in 1971 penned the song I Am Woman. That song was first released on her debut album, I Don't Know How to Love Him, and was later heard in the closing credits of the 1972 film Stand Up and Be Counted. On September 29th, 2020, Helen Reddy passed away. In honor of Helen Reddy's life and legacy, here it is now, I Am Woman.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend, 'cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. I'm wise, but it's wisdom.
In 2015, ABC aired a 6-part Australian television comedy documentary series starring Melbourne comedian Judith Lucy. In the final episode of this series, Lucy recorded a version of Helen Reddy's I Am Woman, which was released by ABC Music. The song is credited as Judith Lucy featuring Deborah Conway, Ella Hooper, Vika and Linda Bull, Kylie Oldest, Bertie Blackman, Liz Stringer, Lisa Miller, Jen Kohler, Monique Bromby, Angie Hart, Justine Clark, Rebecca Barnard, Evelyn Morris, Antonia Selbach, and Carla Way. So now I play that version for you. In honor of Helen Reddy and all that she brought to women, Helen Reddy, happy International Women's Day. This one's for you. I Am Woman.
I am woman, hear me roar, and numbers too big to ignore.
Regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
And
this brings us to the story corner portion of this evening's show. For International Women's Day, I've chosen to re-air two different radio tales. The first one is called Bloodlines, Ley Lines, and the Luck of the Irish, and tells the story of my mother's ancestors who emigrated from Ireland in the 1840s. And also included in that radio tale are some vignettes of my mother's life. And my mother was one of the strongest women I knew. I didn't always know it growing up, but as I reflect back on her life and my life and our life together, I see just how strong she really was. So that will be the first radio tale. And the second one is radio tale number two, Your Song. I shared music with my mother like nobody else, and she taught me so much about music. So sit back, relax, and have a listen to these stories. I'm really, really proud of them. They were part of my thesis, my graduate thesis at SFU, and I think they're ageless. They're ageless stories that reflect on women and music and life through the ages. Let's go to that now.
Radio Tale number 3, Bloodlines, Ley Lines, and the Luck of the Irish.
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first laid my eyes on sweet Molly Malone.
In the late 1800s, my great-grandparents set sail from Dublin, Ireland, for the Americas. Having feared that the potato famine would wipe them out in Ireland, my ancestors accepted the American government's offer to settle the prairie landscape of the Midwest in exchange for a parcel of land in the New World. After docking on the East Coast and registering at New York's Ellis Island, papers were approved and they were assigned a plot of land in North Dakota. And so, with deed on hand, by horse and buggy, my great-grandparents traveled to the Dakotas, where they settled along the Red River Valley in hopes of making a better life for themselves and their young family. As the years passed and as their children grew, at the turn of the century, some of their children ventured north to Canada to make a life of their own. Like their parents had done before them, they accepted the Canadian government's offer of a parcel of land to immigrants who were willing to settle the Canadian prairie. After congregating to Leroy, Saskatchewan, and having their land parceled out, each family set out to start their new life, having left the Red River Valley behind them.
From this valley, they say you are going. I will miss your bright eyes.
Once Grandpa Jeremiah had settled in the small town of McGee, Saskatchewan, he took Grandma Olive as his bride. Together they worked the land and raised a family of their own, with my mother Margaret being the youngest of seven. Although I never met Grandpa Jeremiah, and I barely knew Grandma Olive, I recall hearing many a story of their homesteading days. These tales send me back as though I have lived the prairie life. My grandpa played the violin, and he played his song for me. With a tap and a bang and a strum and a twang, he played his jamboree, a prairie tune that was sure to make sweet history. That was many, many years ago. As for my life, I grew up on the west coast of Canada, and my mother died when she was 72 years old, just as I began to tip the scales of 40. As the shock of losing my mom wore down, and as the grief diminished, I began to research her life. My journey began with some old photos and a scrapbook. As I interviewed family and friends who identified people and places Mom had known, I was able to fill in some of the missing pieces of her story. This eventually led me